Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 3 of the London Day Game podcast. It's the podcast about London Day Game that's got London Day Gamers in it. Today we have
Mr. C.
Mr. C. All right, he's very anonymous. You can find him on Twitter by, what is it, C Day Game.
C_Day Game.
I'll put it into the show notes so you can find him. So you make sure you follow him for some regular updates. So I met Mr. C a few years ago now, I think.
No, even last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, I think May. About May or June May? Time.
Yeah, so we actually had a couple of Skype calls. So there's an upsell. But then we ended up meeting in person and got on well. So I thought, why not have him on for a podcast? And yeah, hear what he's got to say. Here is Day Game Tales. He's had some good stuff going for him. He's got some interesting stories about day game in a small city and like how that's changed his approach to day game. Okay, let's take it away. So, Mr. C, just tell us how you got started with day game.
Yeah, so it was quite a while ago now, as you know, and kind of was off it for a while. In school and college, I was just never good with girls at all, could not talk to them. I remember about 18, 19, I figured, oh, I need to do something about this. So I think I just sort of typed in how to talk to girls on Google and ended up with a very, what I now know, very sort of salesy PUA kind of course. I think his name was Bobby Rio or something like that. So that was my first kind of, my first sort of delve into game, I guess. I was learning all that, and then it kind of occurred to me that, okay, it was all well and good learning that, but I couldn't implement it because it was all predominantly about going out, bars, nightclubs, and I didn't actually do any. I barely did any of that. I think at the time I worked nights, so I was very rarely going out. So after a while, I think it was just something like, I just Googled how to get laid without going out, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then eventually, that kind of rabbit hole led me, I think it was Steve Jabber actually was the first one that I came across.
Oh yeah.
His YouTube videos.
Uh-huh.
Remember watching a couple of those, thinking, okay, so there is a way, you know, not going out to bars and nightclubs. At this time, I'd never really heard of Tinder, or certainly, I think 7-8 years ago, I wasn't that big. I certainly know my friends were using it. So obviously, I decided, well, I'm going to give this a go. I think it took me about 4 or 5 times actually going out to do it before I actually did it. I still remember my first one. I mean, the poor girl was, I think she was creeped the fuck out, to be honest. I mean, I was shaking, I was nervous, I could barely get my words out, but I remember the feeling after doing it. And although it'd gone awfully, I was like, yes, fuck yeah, like, kind of thing. And then it's just sort of progressed from there. As I mentioned, I did have a couple of years out where I was on the dark side in Tinder, but then very much over the sort of past 2 years, it's been, very much kind of going at it, heavily again.
How do you notice that then, going from doing day game, cold approach, like face-to-face meeting, to going to doing some online and then back again?
I think for me, it was, someone that, I guess before day games, sort of struggled to get laid in anyway. I think for me, it was a bit, initially it was like, wow, like this, it's this easy. Because I think initially I had a lot of success.
On Tinder.
Okay. Yeah, because I was living in Glasgow, so I was living in quite a big city as well. And I guess probably big English and probably helped, and maybe being around helped a little bit. It's like, isn't it? So, that's why I kind of just stuck with Tinder for a while, because I was like, wow. But then I think that, I don't know, maybe it was a new introductory thing where they gave me loads of matches when I was new, but that gradually kind of, that gradually kind of slowed down. And I think it was good because ultimately it probably gave me a lot of, it probably good in a way because it gave me a lot of sexual experience. Well, obviously day game, is, as you know, there's somewhat a ceiling for most day games, where this I was probably getting, okay, the girls weren't as nice, but probably getting, numbers that I wouldn't get in day games. So it was good to sort of build up my sexual experience, I think. But then kind of gradually down the line, I realised actually, day games just does so much more for me, and just the quality as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's something I've really seen in sort of the past year or so since really getting back into it. It's just the type of girl is just so much better from day game, I think, as well.
Yeah. I think you got the nail on the head there, is that if you are, so I had a similar experience in that when I really started game in 2016, I started off using Tinder, and I had some, quite a lot of lays. I think I had something like maybe somewhere between 7 and 10 leads in a few months, maybe in like 3 months or something from Tinder. But A, like you said, they weren't as hot. You know, it's like they were just mainly sixes. You know, it was like 1-7, I think. And there was just no... it's going to sound really arrogant, but it was just no challenge. Like, it's not fulfilling. You kind of... You sit at home, you swipe, and then it's like the conveyor belt of girls. They're roughly the same. They come out, you do the same thing. And you don't feel like you really earned it so much.
It's never really a story either as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, it's just like, yeah, we met for a drink. She'd already kind of decided on me because she saw my pictures and everything. Like, she's picking me for, like, a particular look that I have or something about me that she likes. And, I mean, for me, I told myself, once I get my first lay from day game, I just delete all the apps. And I'm really grateful that I did, actually. Like, I remember one evening I got... and this kind of will come back to what you said about the algorithm. One evening I got drunk and I was like, I think some of my friends were getting some lays from Tinder. So I said, oh, fuck it, I'm going to download it too. And I thought, you know, quite obnoxiously that I'd just download it and get a lay. I'd almost be able to get a girl to come over to mine that night or something. And then you know, reset up the profile, start swiping, and it's like, no matches. And then you wonder, like, what's different? I mean, it's actually the same pictures as I used before. And I genuinely think it's like the algorithm is king when it comes to online. Like, obviously I'm just speculating here, this is conjecture, but I think that if you're a new user, it just puts you in front of more people.
Yeah.
And then what happens is over time it starts putting you further down the queue, and then to regain that, to regain your position at the front of the queue, you then have to pay again. You have to pay for it, like whatever it is, gold membership and push it. I don't know what they're called, like
platinum.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you have to pay for some things. Oh, you'll have to forgive. There's some background noise here because we're just recording outside of a pub inside central London. So yeah, what is so much better than about day game? It's like, obviously, yeah, fuck this algorithm shit. You know, if you want to go approach a girl, you can.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, interestingly, so I did my first day game trip back in December, and I did also, so I downloaded Tinder as well for the first time, maybe about a year and a half. And I think my experiences from doing day game there and using Tinder just kind of absolutely solidified for me, like, yeah, day game is kind of the way forward for me. I think the differences, I mean, I said about the experiences and the stories, and, you know, not every time you get an approach, not every day game lays a story, but generally that's where the stories seem to come from. You know, as you said, it's just, you know, I'm just trying to quickly think through my Tinder stories, and I don't think they really said me. It's, as you said, it's, you know, you meet in a bar, you within 2 hours you're sort of back home, like most of the time, is it? It's all very easy. And I think ultimately, you know, what it does for you as well, I think, you know, day game has helped me progress in a lot of other areas as well. It's certainly given me confidence in other areas. You know, it makes you balls, all that kind of stuff. So I think it has you know, the drip feed effect to so much other stuff, whereas Tinder, I think it's just, it doesn't really.
Yeah, in fact, we were actually, me and Mr. O on the previous podcast, we were still talking about how once you become confident with girls, then you can feel like you're confident everywhere else in life.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing day game, though. It's like, if I can go and do that set, then what have I really got to fear at work? Going to talk to my manager, get a raise or a promotion or something. Or just like putting yourself out there, really. Yeah. So, like I said at the start, Mr. C has done most of his day game in, well, could say a small city.
Yes, very small city.
Very small city. So we won't tell you like where it is. Do you want to give maybe like a rough geographical area?
I mean, yeah, it's commutable to London.
Okay,
it's in the London commuter belt.
Okay. So you've got this option, really. It's like, do I day game in my area, or do I come into, you know, the big smoke to come and do my sets? So what was it like day gaming in your small city? You know, how many sets do you think you could do in a week? What were the girls like? Did you feel like you got different vibes in your city compared to in London?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, actually. It's something I'm still trying to figure out, because I think I've actually come across a point recently, actually, which I've kind of realised that although they're friendlier where I am, I think I'm realising they're a lot less adventurous. I think that's having quite an effect on it. I mean, are there much? I think, you know, there's a lot more probably surprise.
Yeah. In your city.
Yeah, like quite a lot. Not every approach, but quite a common one, I think, in a small place is, oh, you know, am I on YouTube? Where's the camera kind of thing? And I don't think I've ever had that in a big city, because it's something that, you know, they're probably used to. Whereas I guess, you know, okay, you know, a lot of the girls in my city will be in London quite regularly anyway, but probably for the, you know, there are some girls there, but literally the first, like, probably it's the first time it's ever happened to them.
Oh, okay.
Whereas, yeah, in London it's not going to be the case. I think the less adventurous thing maybe doesn't help, because I think, you know, it's people a lot more kind of set in their groups, like set in their ways kind of thing, you know, people that are still living for the most part there rather than moving in London, you know, yeah. They don't really have that kind of vibe thing. So I think it is actually quite tough in a lot of ways, I think, because of that, because it's, you know, you get, I think people that are, you know, people in London, people who move to London, they're just more up for things like that, really.
Adventure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like one thing to always think about, is that a lot of guys will say things like, oh, English girls are really tough. Or one guy from a German guy will be in Germany saying, German girls are really tough. But it's because there's going to be a much higher proportion. If you think about all of the English girls that are, say, in London, I mean, even in your small city, right, more of them, a higher percentage, are just going to be like regular girls living their life, going about their day. You know, they've got a strong social circle. They've already got like a line of suitors who have been picked by their friends and workplace for them to be with. Whereas if you've got a girl who's coming in from, you know, who's moved to London from Italy, right, she's already selected herself as being a bit adventurous. You know, she's almost showing like, I'm the kind of girl who does something different. And not only that, but she's going to turn up wanting her London adventure, probably. So maybe we need to think a bit more, like, you know, when we're saying like, oh yeah, English girls are tough, obviously there's going to be cultural influences in there, but there is this whole self-selection thing going on with adventure. But anyway, Mr. C,
I think when I look at you know, probably locally as well, I guess the sort of success I've had, it has generally been you know, say, you know, people that have aren't from there originally, and maybe they've moved there, or it's students at the university. I mean, there are, you know, I can caveat with, for example, you know, one last year, I mean, she was your typical like mainstream English girl, very hot.
Okay.
And yeah, that was a bit of a funny one, because I actually ended up approaching her twice, not realizing the second time it was her, and then playing it off that I knew, uh-huh. And I just wanted to give it another go, and then a year later, anyway, that's a bit of a funny one. But yeah, so you can obviously, you know, still, you know, your mainstream typical English girl does work. But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, you're generally looking for some, as you said, like something about them that would make them maybe more adventurous, or maybe more open to something like that, you know, rather than just your run-of-the-mill girl that's, you know, yeah, got a friend group and all that kind of stuff, and is just pretty, you know, settled, really.
Sort of normal.
I think that's, yeah, it's a lot of girls where I live, it's just they're pretty settled, like they're just, you know.
Okay. So in your small city, right, so, yeah, how many sets do you think that you could do in there a week? Given that you can't just burn the whole place down, you know, if you wanted to be reasonable,
I think probably no more than about 15 really a week. I mean, you know, I don't like to, if I'm being honest, I don't like to go out too many times in the week. I think, you know, I'll do, I think, five in one day is my max, and then I feel like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe I've been out a little bit too much, because where I live, it's an interesting, because it's not really like, and this is going to, you know, something I've looked into, but most cities they come from like a circle. So you have like four ways to get into the centre,
okay.
Which means you have four different like directions of people coming in.
Yeah.
Which means there's all the, you know, there's a lot more different walkway. Whereas where I live, it's just one main street, and you can only get to it from 90 degrees, if that makes sense. So there's a lot less like traffic streets and stuff like that. So you are literally almost going up the same street, up and down.
Yeah,
there's not really, you know, many places to duck or many other streets to walk down and stuff. So
do you feel like there's more like spotlight effect then?
Yeah, I do locally, yes. I mean, in London that doesn't, you know, that doesn't even exist in my head, but certainly, yeah, locally, I think, yeah, after a little while you do get the spotlight effect.
Okay, so what about when you were like learning day game? Did you have to take lots of trips into central London to do the sets, or did you stay in your area and just think, I'm just going to do it here and maybe it takes a bit longer?
So last year, so I didn't actually end up doing any day game in London until I think 2019. So yeah, the first couple of years, it was just all locally. And then I moved to Glasgow for a couple of years and I did it extensively up there, but then that's when I kind of got into Tinder and then the rest of my time up there.
Tell us about day game in Glasgow, because of course of the whole day game documentary scandal, that Eddie A game guy was in Glasgow. So like, he what was. Is it like there?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, for me, it was, you know, okay, yeah, so I ended up getting on Tinder eventually. But for me, like, coming from, you know, a city of, 170,000 to, I mean, okay, the metropolitan area, if you add everything, that's about over a million. Okay. So, yeah, it was a bit like being a kid in a candy shop.
Do you feel like there weren't many other guys there doing it?
I'd say a big scene. I mean, I've never met day gamers in the wild, apart from in Glasgow. There was quite a few of them. So, I mean, I did know that Addy ate a game for probably about a month or so that I had some dealings with him. No, I mean, in terms of, you know, I kind of knew him and, you know, if I saw him about, you know, and we kind of had mutual friends and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I just found, I can't say anything about what he did or didn't do because I wasn't around for that, but I just found him very, very, very intense.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, someone that was just trying to, you know, go about the business, kind of trying to get laid, just wasn't. Yeah.
That's maybe a good point, a learning point there, is that, like, you know, depending on the size of your city, you do have to be very aware of how intensely, how much you're, like, how many sets you're doing when you're going out into these areas, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't really want to get a reputation. Let's say you approach a girl who goes to a university in the city, and then it kind of spreads that you're like the weird, you're like the very intense kind of guy. Well, let's pause it there. Okay, we're back. We just had to pause there because there was a very big old lorry that was going by. So anyway, we were saying that you need to kind of temper your intensity if you're in a smaller city, because you don't want to get this reputation with some local university girls that you are that guy going around approaching. You probably need to you need to find that balance, because obviously you don't want to just do weak approaches, but maybe you have to do a few more side stops. You have to definitely get more creative with where you're going to approach. And I always think, you know, if you have to do less approaches, then you're going to have to analyze them more. So record yourself. Especially, it's great to get a wing to video you, even just for 5 to 10 seconds of footage, because you'll immediately see whether or not your body language is off. If you're leaning in too much, or you're leaning away too much, or you wave your hands, or you smile in a really odd way, or something like this.
Yeah, I think that's a great point about, you know, you just need to watch it in smaller places, because I think that was part of the problem with that ADA game, is he was doing maybe like 20 sets a day, every single day. And I mean, I sometimes I would be on my lunch break, so I used to work in the centre, and I just would, you know, be on my lunch break, and I'd just see him like running down the main street, like Jesus, going after a girl. So that was, yeah, he just wasn't, I think he was just doing too much in a short space of time. But I mean, it's happened to me, not quite the same, but I mean, last year, it was quite a sore one actually, because it was probably the hottest girl I've ever managed to get on a date. And unfortunately, between the first and second date, she saw me in the middle of an approach, is one that's super keen on meeting up again. But I managed to wrangle my way out of it, get her to meet up with me.
Uh-huh.
And the day before, that second date was arranged, I ended up approaching one of our flatmates.
Oh,
and obviously, you know, I did the right thing, because it was, I mean, this girl was foreign, and so was her flatmate. So it was like, oh, you know, looked at her, like, oh, okay, look, foreign looking girl, it, you know, where I live, almost in my hometown there, you know, where I live. Of course, you know, doing the right thing by going, but yeah. Then obviously, yeah, it was just,
Well, that is it. We're only ever, 6 degrees of separation away. I have a similar thing, not flatmate, but it turns out I actually once approached one of my ex-colleagues, like in my old 9-to-5 job, one of their sisters.
Oh, wow.
So, I actually say to myself, like, luckily it didn't go anywhere, because you really don't want anything to any kind of drama to ensue, really. Mm. Actually, on that note, it's quite, let me just take a side note, is that I used to leave work wearing my day game outfit, like literally leaving from the office building, and no one really cared. They just thought, oh, that's Tom. That's the weird. He's kind of like weird. Sometimes he does weird things. And then when it found, when they found out that I had approached my colleague's sister again, it was like, oh, that's just Tom. He's just like kind of the weird guy who does weird things. So one thing is that like you don't have to care so much about people finding out. Here's one tip.
My work openly knows, and they don't care.
Yeah, exactly. The way one of my friends puts it, he calls it the secretary test. So if you could tell your secretary or receptionist, whatever, at work, the average person in the street, if you could tell them what you were up to and they would agree, then it's considered socially acceptable. So, for example, this is what my friend said. He would say, like, if I said to the receptionist, oh, do you know what? I'm just feeling really extroverted and I've got lots of energy today. I'm going to go out and just talk to five people. Then she would probably be like, oh yeah, that's great, you go do that. But then if you said to them, I'm going to go out and approach 10 girls today and another 10 on Thursday, and then like I'm going to do another 10 each day on the weekend, and I'm going to record it and get better at it and collect statistics and stuff and write about it online, obviously then receptionist is going to be like, oh no, yeah, no, no, you can't do that, can't do that. So maybe that's another skill to have when you're in the small city, is, like I said, about not approaching too intensely, not doing so many sets, trying to soften the approach a little bit more so that it appears more natural, but also like having this up your sleeve, like knowing what to say if people ask you what you're up to, just so you can keep up that sort of social facade. And I'm not saying that you hide your dick or you should hide what you're doing in terms of telling people, oh no, I wasn't approaching her, I'm not doing anything, but just to keep the peace, really, because it's like extra drama in your life, you don't need it. So, speaking of small cities, you also took a jaunt to, I suppose, another small city, because you went to Lisbon.
Lisbon, yes, I did, yeah.
Was that last year or year?
That was in December, yes.
So that was it, wow, okay.
A bit of an odd one for a first time. I just, why did I pick Lisbon? I think I was doing something else in Portugal, so I thought I'd bolt on a little day game trip, and it was winter as well, so I'm not sure I was, you know, I didn't want to freeze my ass off in Eastern Europe. So I'd been to Lisbon before, and I thought actually Lisbon might be a good place. And to be honest, I would go back to Lisbon to do day game, definitely.
And what kind of area? How big was it?
So I mean, it's pretty big. You've got like the main kind of shopping streets, and then there's a lot of, maybe there's like, you know, running in parallel, maybe like 7 or 8 streets that are quite busy. It's not like London, but again, look, coming from a small city,
yeah.
Like a kid in a candy shop. Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, it was very good. I had a lot of tourists as well. I maybe like 2 or 3 Portuguese girls, and everyone else was foreign. But no, it was very, very, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I actually went to Lisbon with my girlfriend in 2019. And obviously I'm with her, I'm thinking about what we're going to do together, but I can't help but go somewhere and just keep, like, just look around and think, what would this be like for day game? And you're right, there is a very large central square with a sort of, there's like a church or cathedral or something.
Yeah.
And then you've got like a waterfront, which has these maybe 4 or 5 streets going off of it. So it's quite a large area.
Mm.
It's quite large. And like you said, tons and tons of tourists.
Yeah.
Lisbon is super popular.
You've got quite a big area where there's no shops, but there's like a lot of touristy things, like for example where the castle is, and you've got like churches and stuff. So even away from the main shopping streets, you've still got like quite a lot of foot flow.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you said, some tourists and stuff like that. So it's, I guess, the right kind of foot flow.
And as you said, in comparison to your own small city, it felt like it was really big.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of the things that you can do, actually. So typically, if I talk to guys who are living in small cities, I'll say to them, you've got a few options. You can either, I say to them, like, you've got a day game in your small city, but just take it easy. Don't go too mental, but analyze yourself. Then you can take trips into wherever your nearest big city is. Maybe each Saturday, come in and just tell yourself, right, I'm going to do 20 sets while I'm here, just for the learning experience. And I mean, if you're really dedicated, if you've got the spare money to do that each Saturday and put together a lot of sets, you know, you can literally come in, start at mess. I mean, like, if you're coming to London, you could start at 10 a.m., go all the way through, take a break for lunch, go for like 8 hours or something, get 20 sets done. And then what you could do is maybe every month is to book an Airbnb. So you set up your dates on the weekend, you maybe have your first date or even second dates as well, and then you get that Airbnb for the, say, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, or even just the Friday, Saturday night, and that's where you line up the dates where you're trying to get the clothes. And obviously, if you haven't got any of those lined up, then you go for SDLs, just for the experience of trying to pull them. So that's one. That's an alternative. But another one is, if it's that expensive to get into a local city, then you can also just take trips to these, to places like Lisbon, Prague, Warsaw. You know, sometimes it costs just as much to, it depends when you fly, of course, but when you can fly, but it might actually cost you just like a little bit more to fly off to somewhere where you're going to be able to do tons of sets. You know, obviously then you're still going to have to organize your Airbnb. It's going to be a bit more expensive, but there are lots and lots of options open. So if you do live in a small city, you know, it doesn't mean that you're kind of just fucked and you're not going to be able to do a game. So in Lisbon, there was a lovely story that you had with a tourist there.
There was,
so let's go over that.
So I'd met a she's an English girl, turns out, but exactly my type, so yeah, I wasn't complaining. So I met her, we went on a bit of an instant date, just went around Lisbon and stuff, and then I'd had an instant a couple of days before. I'm pretty sure she flaked because it just went on too long, and the mood just went a bit down, really. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna cut this short. I really should have gone for the same day, actually the same that night, but for whatever, I can remember what every reason I tried to get out for the next night. I didn't hear from anyway, so I was like, okay, that's dead. So I ended up spending the next day approaching, getting a couple of dates lined up, and then so I'm about to get ready for this date with this Italian girl. I think it's about 15-20 minutes from I'm going to meet her.
Yeah.
And then she texts me, so I'm like, okay.
Choices.
Now, this particular Italian girl, she really didn't seem that keen on the approach, and I was actually quite shocked that she was up for having a date. So I was like, okay, like, I'll see how. It's like, this is probably not going to go anywhere, so I'll arrange to meet this English girl. I'll go and meet the Italian girl. It's interesting, I had another girl, actually, which probably actually the strongest, this Dutch girl, who probably had the strongest, like, interest from a number in terms of that. I sent her the feeler text, and she was like, yeah, let's meet up, like, let's arrange, and she was a tourist as well, so probably that was actually the first time where, I'm kind of ruining the story a bit to get ahead of myself, but probably where I had so much options in one night. It was very, very nice to sure experience. But anyway, so yeah, I went to meet this Italian girl, arranged to meet the English girl. I didn't think anything was going to happen with this Italian girl. But then I got there and it was just on, and I was like, oh God, what am I going to do?
With the Italian?
Yeah. It seemed very on. And I was like, God, what am I going to do? So I'm just sitting there for, you know, she doesn't know this, but I'm sitting there for, you know, half an hour. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? In the end, I decided to meet the English girl, and in the end, it was the right decision. We turned out she was a virgin, so that was, you know, that was pretty fun. And then I have actually been seeing, I mean, she lives, she doesn't live near where I live, but I have been seeing her quite regularly since then, really. I mean, I went to where she lives at the weekend, she's come to visit me and stuff, so yeah, it's been a really nice experience. I think that's not too bad for your first day game trip, right? I think there was a lot of, I'm gonna lie, I was quite apprehensive about it, and almost felt that, you know, if I'm now deciding that I'm good enough to do a day game trip, that I almost have to get laid. So I did feel quite a lot of pressure. But now I feel that I'm going to Warsaw in June, I'm going to Helsinki as well for the day game. I feel like there's actually no pressure because of that first one, like, you know, I did it, and it's like, okay, you know, moving forward, you know, you're probably not going to have success in everyone, right? So,
No, that's fantastic. I mean, I understand what you're saying about the pressure. When I took my first jaunt to Prague in 2019, it was like the thing that was looming over me. You do feel, because when you go, you know, everyone knows you got to have freedom from outcome. You got to have this amazing, fantastical mixture of freedom from outcome, but also outcome dependence. Like, you got to go for the goal. So how do you balance those when you're on a trip where you're literally telling yourself, I am here to get laid?
Yeah.
It's very, very tough. Especially, let's talk a little bit about the fact that she was a virgin.
Mm.
Because I had a, in 2020 in Prague, I had a same day delay with a virgin.
Okay.
And then in 2021, which was last year, I had a same day delay with a virgin. And I think we've talked about this before, and it is one of those like red pill eye-opening moments where, I mean, if you were to tell that to a blue pill guy, you just think that would be the kind of thing he'd be like, no, there's no way, surely, no, you're pulling my leg.
Yeah.
You know, he might not get angry, he might be like, no, women would never do that, but he might be like, no, I just don't, just like, doesn't quite believe you. But the truth is, and obviously we've seen it firsthand, is that a lot of girls will just think, yeah, I'm going to go through with this. And they want it, and they think, you know, maybe they might even tell themselves, the next guy who comes along who seems competent, I'm going to do this with. Or they tell themselves, right, you know, it's going to be my first time, so I want to do it with a guy who has experience, which is good, because a lot of guys doing day game are maybe like late 20s or early, or in their 30s. So you already tick that box, because you're going to just seem more mature for being a bit older than her. And, you know, she'll think, okay, I want to have this as a good memory as well. So that could have added to the fact that it was in Lisbon. She thought, oh yeah, you know, I've this, obviously she's a virgin, right? She's never had sex before. She thinks to herself, if it's going to be any time, it might as well be now. Yeah, because I think a lot of girls, even though with guys, we all know virginity is like considered to be a burden. For girls, it's supposed to be a virtue, but after a certain age, they do consider it, I think, the same as guys. They think it becomes, well, we can see it becomes a bit of a burden for them, because for those girls who are still virgins, let's say, like 25 years old, you'd think to yourself, I mean, they must think to themselves, well, like, I can't give it up now because I've waited so long. So there is going to be this sweet spot of girls out there who are, you know, when you hear she's a virgin, don't let it turn you off, because it might actually be a great sign that she's like, she's looking at you thinking, great, you know, time to lose it.
And it was, you know, it was still quite opening for me. Yes, you know, I'm pretty aware of most red pill, I guess, theories and stuff along those lines. But I think with a lot of the stuff, you can take it in, but it still isn't, it still doesn't really, you don't get that aha moment until it actually happens.
Yeah.
Or you see it happen. And then this particular guy, I mean, she's probably like, you know, most innocent looking, sort of, you know, I guess nice girls you would ever see. Like, I guess I guess your average person would never ever think she would do something like that. So to me, it was still quite opening, thinking, okay, you know, wow.
And it's important as well that it's like, once we find out these things, it's not a bitter taste, is it? I mean, at least it's not for me. I don't think it is for you. It's a bit like you just find out and you're like, oh yeah, that can happen. It doesn't make you think, oh, they're all whores or something. You know, it doesn't actually make you think worse of them.
No,
if anything, I see it as kind of like an opportunity. So you've got, for the later this year, you've got Warsaw planned,
yes.
You've got Helsinki planned.
Yes.
So
interesting, I was actually speaking to a day gamer on Twitter about Warsaw, because I heard that he went. And basically where he was telling me
along with every other day gamer who's been to Warsaw.
But he was basically giving me some ideas in terms of where I should stay. And basically the place that he told me to stay was the place I'd already booked. So there you go.
That's really good.
Really specific apartment that he stayed in and I stayed in. So Warsaw, I just, originally I was going to go to Krakow, but you told me to go to Warsaw. So now I'm going to Warsaw.
Happy to know I have such an effect on you.
But I mean, that's quite substantial. So I mean, that's 8 days. So I know I said no pressure, but I think actually, now I think about it, you know, I think 8 days, like, yeah, you got to get laid, really, haven't you? But and then Helsinki as well, which I'm not really sure why I picked Helsinki, although from what you've told me, it seems like Helsinki might not be a bad place for day game. But I think it's just because I've wanted to go to Finland for a while. Just figured, yeah, why not stick a bit of day game in it as well?
Yeah. You know? I think what you'll find, so speaking about both places, I've been to Warsaw for day game. I've been to Helsinki, but not for day game.
Yeah.
I sort of gave you what I thought about Helsinki, you know, like there's the certain areas which you can go day game. Won't go into all of them here, but it certainly looks day gameable.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know what time of year you're going to go. It might be punishingly cold, but
I'm going in August, so that.
Oh, then you'll be perfectly fine then. Warsaw is like, I've been between Prague and Warsaw. I prefer Warsaw. It's
okay.
Like, I feel like there are levels. You know, obviously you've got London, then you've got the central, sort of almost like Central Europe, and slightly eastern, but not very far east Europe, which is Prague and Warsaw, sort of Polish and Czech cities. And then you've got further east, you know, sort of Moscow, St. Petersburg, Kiev, Belgrade. So Balkans are included in there, obviously. So between Prague and Warsaw, you almost have to pick which one your favourite is. And for me, Warsaw is better because it has a nicer day game area. It's a little bit cheaper than Prague as well. And the main thing was that I get the feeling that in in Prague, the Czech girls still have that small town mentality. It's almost like they feel like, you know, like you would have said in your small city, that I don't know if you would have thought, like, maybe some of the girls thought, I'm being watched. Or, yeah, like you said, they thought, is this YouTube prank video or something? Obviously, in Prague, you know, they're used to being approached, but there definitely was that feeling of being watched. I still think most of the success in Prague is going to come from tourists. But the opposite, okay, in my experience, seems to be true, that in Warsaw, the local girls, the Polish girls, have more of the big city mentality. I don't know why, Warsaw has more of like a metropolis feel to it.
It must be a lot bigger than Prague, right, population-wise?
I think so, but I don't know the numbers. But I think you're right, yeah, I think it is bigger. And also, yeah, like I said, it's just a nicer place to day game. One thing especially is that in Prague, you have this very small day game area. You know, you can walk to one end to the other. Say, like, you were doing no sets. I mean, for sure, you could do it in 20 minutes. Easily. Probably less, if you walk fast. Whereas Warsaw, you know, it's maybe twice as long. And the mall, in my opinion, is better. So, what is it? Zloty Tarasy is better than Palladium, in my opinion. Zloty Tarasy has this very kind of meditative, entrancing music that they play inside. And it's just the right kind of golden light inside that makes you slip into the trance. And you can walk around the horseshoe. And fall into that meditative state. But no, you're really going to, I think you're going to enjoy Warsaw and enjoy it. Okay, so we are coming towards the end of the podcast now, and at the end of the podcast, I'm trying to make this a thing. I try and ask the guests, you know, what is the Mr. C special? So if I was to know you for like one thing, what would it be?
The day gamer that spends most of his time doing day game in shabby little towns.
Shabby little towns. Okay.
Chavvy.
Oh, chavvy towns. Yeah. All right then. So,
for your non-UK listeners, you might have to describe what that is.
All right. So, if you're American, chavvy is like white trash.
Yeah.
But not like trailers or anything. But it's kind of like our equivalent, basically. If you're a day gamer who lives in a small city, and you see some chavs, then go up to them, start dropping your best game. And then what I want you to do is collect some stats on that, and then go onto Twitter and go to Mr. What is it? C
Day Game.
So, we'll put it in the notes, but it's, I think it's at @C_Day Game.
I think so.
It's
something
like that. And
C Day Game _.
It'll be in the notes. It'll be in the notes. All right then. That is podcast number 3 of the London Day Game podcast. Over.
Nice. How was that?